the president moves to rein in the banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama has waded into the debate on financial reform legislation. Yesterday, he proposed that Congress stop the big banks from making the kind of high-risk trades that helped bring on the financial crisis. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nancy, when we say risky trades, what are we talking about?
Bill, we're talking about a ban on what's known as proprietary trading, that is, banks making trades on their own behalf.
And what is wrong with that?
Well, the White House says that could cause a conflict of interest that would affect a bank's customers. Also, under Obama's proposal, banks wouldn't be able to invest in hedge funds or private equity funds.
And how are banks reacting to this wing clipping?
They're not happy, of course, Bill. Surprise, surprise, they're lobbying furiously against the Obama proposal. Some are threatening to move to other countries that don't have these kinds of restrictions. Andrew Hilton is the director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation in London. He says U.S. banks might not have much more luck in Europe.
The political environment in Europe for American banks is dire at the moment. If they come over here, they're not going to be any more popular here than they are in New York. The environment here is going to be at least as hostile as it is in New York or California.
And Hilton says the feeling in Britain is that huge global banks are to blame for the financial crisis.
And what's the feeling where you are in Washington?
Well, Obama's proposal is getting a very chilly reception on Capitol Hill. Senator Chris Dodd, the Democrat who chairs the Senate Banking Committee, says the White House plan is just a political ploy.
Interesting. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you.
You're welcome.
In other news, we found out a few minutes ago, new claims for jobless benefits fell last week by 29,000, maybe a sign that layoffs are beginning to ease. Now let's do a quick check of the numbers. European shares are down very slightly this morning. Asian shares were off 1%, though, today. Yesterday, the Dow gave up 9 points. It closed at 10,396. Back to Washington now. Silicon Valley meets the State Department today. It's one of a series of encounters between high-tech executives and government officials on the issue of internet freedom overseas. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman says the stakes are high for foreign policy and American business.
At a Senate hearing this week, Democrat Dick Durbin sent a blunt warning to American technology companies: help repressive regimes censor the web, spy on email, or jam social networks, and you could face the long arm of the law.
Companies who think this doesn't affect them or that it's just about Google are in for a rude awakening.
That's Elisa Massimino of Human Rights First. She says in supporting Google's fight against Chinese censorship, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has articulated a new human right to connect freely to the internet without government interference or punishment.
The degree to which companies don't get on board with this voluntarily, I think they're going to increasingly see regulation and even criminal sanction.
There is a voluntary code of conduct for companies pledging not to help suppress dissent, but only Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft are on board so far. The administration, meanwhile, is providing about $20 million to support activist groups and new technology to get around internet censorship overseas. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing, ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents, information available at Progressive.com.
The movie Alice in Wonderland opens this weekend with Johnny Depp as the Mad Hatter.
What a regrettably large head you have. I should very much like to have it.
The idea of someone being mad as a hatter may not be entirely fictional. A professor in the School of Fashion at Toronto's Ryerson University says author Lewis Carroll grew up near a big hat-making town in England at a time when that job was bad for the brain. Dr. Allison Matthews-David, welcome to Marketplace.
Good morning.
How did hat making make people loopy?
Well, hat making was known to be one of the dangerous trades, as they were called in the 19th century. And those were trades that involved working with toxic materials like lead. In the case of hatting, it involved working with a mercury solution.
Why mercury?
What happened was beaver hats in the past were the most fashionable hats for men. And when they overhunted beaver in North America, they had to turn to lesser quality furs. So, for example, they needed rabbit fur to make felt hats. And in order to transform the rabbit fur into felt, they needed to brush it with a mercury solution.
And this disoriented some hat makers?
Well, yes, because, of course, there were no protective measures for workers in these trades. So they actually used their bare hands and touched the mercury. We know that mercury is highly, highly toxic. And then when the hats were dried as well, the mercury vapors would escape into the workshops where there was no ventilation. So this mercury entered their bloodstream, and it caused a multitude of health problems, including trembling. You would become often irritable, irrational. It was well known that hatters were often a little bit loopy.
You're writing a book about the health dangers and consequences of fashion. You must observe a lot of pop culture in a unique way because of what you know.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's I could write about 8 books on health problems. It's sort of anything from dyes. Green dyes were made using arsenic, for example, or even things like large crinoline skirts catching on fire or ballerinas' tutus catching on fire. So there are lots of health hazards historically caused by fashion, but also today.
Dr. Allison Matthews-David is a professor at Ryerson University in the School of Fashion there, and she's writing a book called Fashion Victims, Clothing and Health in Historical Perspective. Doctor, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And finally, a Republican congressman is proposing Ulysses S. Grant be bumped off the $50 bill in favor of Ronald Reagan. North Carolina's Patrick McHenry says Reagan beat the Soviets, transformed our approach to government, and renewed America's self-confidence. One opponent said, given the deficits Reagan ran up, his face should be on a commemorative credit card. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.